Both sources. Ah. Both sources. Ah. 1353-53, the open line number. A break here, Raymond, for the news. After the break, Abby McCulloch, first game for the Swiss today. Dean Bulldog Ritchie and Nathan Brown from the Newcastle Knights.
Arthur Stevens Foreign Aid Group say a $15 million boost to Australia's contribution to the Rohingya crisis in Bangladesh could limit the damage from the impending monsoon season. The additional funding will be used for food delivery, shelters, medical services and counselling for survivors of sexual violence and brings Australia's total pledge to $46.5 million since September last year. According to UN estimates, about 900,000 people are living in packed camps in Bangladesh, and a recent downpour has authorities concerned about the upcoming monsoon season. Oxfam Australia says while they haven't heard details of how quickly the assistance would be available, there's an urgency to provide increased support. Police in Western Australia are urging businesses to reduce their use of tap-and-go technology to make it harder for criminals to rip people off, claiming pinless card frauds are hitting an epidemic level. A campaign encouraging retailers to limit tap-and-go transactions that don't require a PIN and a ban on split payments is being rolled out in Perth's central metropolitan district, starting in the suburbs of Midland and Bayswater. Tap-and-go technology allows purchases under $100 without a PIN, and police say that provides strong temptation for criminals to steal cards from homes, cars and in public in the hope they can rack up dozens of small transactions, often totaling thousands of dollars, before the card's finally cancelled. The Northern Territory's kidney disease sufferers will be the major beneficiaries of a new Medicare item to be announced by the federal government today. Federal Minister for Health Greg Hunt will unveil the plan, which will offer new support to Australia's most dialysis-dependent sector, Indigenous Territorians. 3NT government infrastructure initiatives have been given the tick of approval from the business community ahead of tenders being released in coming weeks. Overseas, and the parents of Alfie Evans have said they're heartbroken after their son died yesterday morning. The 23-month-old, who was being treated at Alder Hayes Children's Hospital in Liverpool, died at 2:30 a.m, according to Kate James and Thomas Evans. The youngster was at the centre of a legal battle over his treatment that touched hearts around the world. Locals have rallied around the couple in the northern city.
It's sad, isn't it, for the whole of Liverpool. It's hit them hard.
That little man is going to do more good now than anything.
We've followed it for weeks, but without judgment, if I'm honest. We've not actually, nobody's blamed anyone from Alder Air. We've not blamed anyone, the judges, because nobody knew who was right. But at the end of the day, it's not about who's right and wrong. It's about the fact that a child's passed.
In the US, a man is accused of being the infamous Golden State Killer has appeared in court. Joseph James D'Angelo stands accused of terrorizing residents of California in the 1970s and 80s. He currently faces two counts of murder, but there is speculation he could be linked to many more murders and rapes. Police found DNA from crime scenes matched his after they were discovered in an online database by a distant relative. Emery Schubert is from the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office.
Once we kind of were led to him through this, then the samples were collected surreptitiously from it, which then matched, we now know, the Eastern Rapist Golden State Killer.
Finally, the co-founder of the Burning Man Festival, Larry Harvey, died at the age of 70. Burning Man Project CEO Marion Goodall said Harvey died yesterday morning at a hospital in San Francisco. The cause wasn't immediately known, but he had suffered a stroke on April 4th. This is Air News. Out of sorts playmaker Michael Morgan may be switched to fullback to regain his mojo after an ailing North Queensland were upset 18-8 in their NRL clash with Canberra in Townsville last night. 5'8's Morgan showed some spark when he took over the custodian role late in last night's clash, but it couldn't stop the Cowboys, slumping to their sixth loss in seven games. Meanwhile, Cronulla coach Shane Flanagan has revealed prop Matt Pryor had been hospitalised for days with a blood infection before inspiring the Sharks' 10-9 win over Gold Coast. And Cronulla are sweating on New South Wales star Josh Dugan after the fullback came off in the dying minutes with a suspected left leg injury. AFL and Adelaide coach Don Pike has downplayed the severity of injuries to captain Taylor Walker and wingman David McKay, who are both in doubt for the Crows' clash with Carlton at Adelaide Oval. Walker set out the second half of last night's 16-14-110-9-8-62 victory over Gold Coast, while McKay was sidelined after three-quarter time. St Kilda coach Alan Richardson's questioned his side's commitment after a fade-out against Hawthorn left the Saints near the foot of the ladder with just one win after six rounds. The Saints went down 13-11-89 to 7-12-54. Meanwhile, the Giants were too strong for Brisbane with a 77-43 scoreline. In football, in case you missed it, Melbourne Victory will face Newcastle Jets in the A-League Grand Final after a last-minute 3-2 win over Sydney FC last night in extra time. And in the English Premier League, Chelsea took a 1-0 win over Swansea City. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Enjoy 25% off in-store and online at Oz Design Furniture. Hurry, 25% off trending furniture and homewares ends tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au. In Clyde, there's a crash on James Roos Drive at Martin Street affecting southbounders. In the city, there's a crash on King Street at Sussex Street. One eastbound lane is closed and delays to the airport heavy on Mar Street approaching the International Terminal and the M5 East through Kingsgrove and Arncliffe. Just a reminder that school zones are back in operation tomorrow, so keep our kids safe. Stick to the 40-kilometre-per-hour school zone speed limit and slow down. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, sometimes you have to think like a kid.
That's easy for you.
So seeing our April sale is on at Bingley, with huge savings on TVs, fridges, washers and more, and it's school holidays.
Yes?
We'll have a holiday expo at the same time.
That's thinking like a kid.
With free activity packs and chances to win prizes, like a Google Home Mini, Luna Park ride passes and Bingley gift cards.
That's thinking like a kid.
The April Holiday Expo sale, on now at Bingley.
You bring your kids and I'll bring Lionel.
Conditions apply.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
The amount of effort that we put in working out where we go for the news. The interesting thing is North Ryde was the only end we could come up with last week, wasn't it? And during the week I heard a report where a car had crashed into a restaurant at North Ryde.
There you go.
So
it does
Fantastic.
Exist.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
It's not twos, I'm telling you. Partly cloudy today for the Sydney area, an 80% chance of showers in the east, most likely in the morning, in the evening. Lots going on there, right? Okay, possible
they're
rainfall.
They're doing their best, Jim.
Oh, it's written War and Peace this morning. Usually they're just phoning it in.
They're listening
anyway,
to you.
They are, the Bureau. Meteorology, good morning. Maximum of 21 degrees in Sydney. Now, what about at Narrabeen?
Yeah, check yourself.
Narooma.
You got it right. Narrabeen currently 15 degrees. Cool start for the day, heading for a top of 20 degrees. Down at Narooma, lovely part of the world, right
in
the south. Currently only 15 degrees, a top of 19, couple of showers at Narooma today.
To develop into a penalty conceding kind of situation, but Atkinson did well. The boy from. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Have you seen a more freakish goal in A-League history? Riley McGree with a scorpion kick into the top corner!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it? The Riley McGree. What do you call it? The
scorpion kick.
Scorpion, is it? Okay, it was a scorpion kick and it was absolutely outstanding. So they get themselves into a grand final. They are the hosts for the grand final. 28,000 people will be up there at McDonald Jones Stadium, and that's going to be huge against Melbourne Victory, would you believe, after that pulsating semi-final at Allianz Stadium last night. Abby McCulloch up very shortly. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in rugby league. We'll get a sports update from Tanya Robbie Slater with football as well, and Nathan Brown from the Newcastle Knights. So we've got a very full program coming up. But it's a very full program coming up today for Abby McCulloch.
Yes.
She's going to lead the Swifts out in round one of the Super Netball Championships, and a bit of disappointment after the way they performed last year, and no doubt they'll be working hard to make amends for that. It's great that on the day of a game, Abby's been able to make herself available. We do appreciate it. G'day, Abby.
Morning, boys. How are we?
We're well. We're well. We're excited about the season ahead. Based on last year and the disappointment of missing the four, what gives you the confidence of making semi-finals this year?
Yeah, last year was a disappointment. The Swifts are predominantly known for being in the finals, and obviously we didn't make it last year. So we've had a really hard look at ourselves over the last 6 months of pre-season and put in a lot of hard work in the court, on the court and in the gym. So I think that's filled us with enough confidence to go out there today and, you know, get our first points of the season.
Good morning, Abby. Thanks for joining us on game day. Have you had many changes to your playing roster from last season?
No, we've actually kept the core of our group together. We've got two newbies who will be in their debut season this year, so that's very exciting for them. But, you know, the core of our group has stayed together, and I think that's a really important thing for us because we are such a young team. So we've built some really good connections from last year that we can hopefully follow through into this year.
Has Helen Halsby been trash-talking everyone, given the fact that she spearheaded England to a victory in the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, no, she hasn't, but she has been wearing that medal around her neck. Back, we can't get it off her, so hopefully she'll leave it at home today and she can just focus on what she needs to do out on court for the Swifts.
Exactly. Hey Abby, Jimmy and I agree on nothing in life, but we've actually agreed on something today, and that's the new point system. We both think it's fantastic, it's innovative. How are the players adjusting to it? And well, firstly, what's your opinion of the new point system, Abby?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting today. Obviously, the first game went down yesterday and the Vixens came away with 5 points to the Collingwood's 3. So it's going to make 4 mini games within the game. I think it's really important that, you know, you come away with a point each quarter, because at the end of the day, we want to walk away with 8 points today. So 4 for the win and 4 for each quarter. So it's going to be a really interesting concept to try and get our heads around as we go into our first game today. But, you know, if we just take it one quarter at a time, I think we'll be right.
And what has been spoken about in that? And out there at Qdos Bank Arena today, is there going to be a representation of not only what the game score is, but what the quarter score as well? Because
the public know and the crowd watching know that you've lost that quarter or got a point for that quarter.
And to explain to people who are listening who might not be up to speed with this one, if you win the game on the competition table, you will get 4 points. And if you win a quarter during the course of that, you will get a point as well. So potentially, if you have a dominant win and you win every quarter, you get 8 points on the competition table.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what we're looking for today. In terms of, you know, fan engagement at the game, I'm not sure. Apparently, last I heard, we're going to have over 10,000 people there.
Yeah,
so
wow.
I'd really like to hope that they, you know, keep the crowd up to date with what's going on. And I imagine that they will. So it'll be interesting, because I think it will, as you said, it will really keep the crowds and, you know, increase the excitement for those watching at home and in the stands. So it'll be really interesting. I'm still not sure how it's going to work, but as I said, as long as we walk away with 8 points today, I don't mind.
Yeah, I love the concept of doubleheader too, Abby. I reckon that's fantastic for the fans. The Firebirds, traditional rivals of the Swifts, how do you match up against them and level of confidence going into this afternoon's game, Abby?
Yeah, we don't really like the Firebirds. They beat us in two very close grand finals a couple of years ago.
Heartbreaking,
and yeah, they were heartbreaking. So we're out to get a bit of revenge on them still. So I think we match up quite well. And, you know, you mentioned the Commonwealth Games before, and we've only had one player go away to the Commonwealth Games, and that was Helen. She's come back with a gold medal. So she's come back with a fire in her belly and ready to go, whereas, you know, the Firebirds, they were affected quite heavily at the Commonwealth Games. They had a few girls playing for Australia and one playing for Jamaica. So, you know, they might be a little bit tired and have some weary bodies in the group. So that's a good thing for us, I think. So we can go out there feeling fresh and confident and, you know, ready to bring them down finally.
Speaking of the Commonwealth Games, Abby, this has probably turned things on their head in your household, because you probably strut around saying, look, I'm the number one sports person in the house. And now Carly, your sister, has come out and gone, bang, gold in the team sprint and gold in the 500 metre time trial. Has there been a changing of the guard there in the household?
Well, I tell you what, the girls have put a lot of pressure on me this year. They're like, well, Carly's come home with 2 gold medals. It's your turn to win a medal this year. And I said, well, hang on a second, girls. I can't win that medal on my own. You lot are going to have to help me. So, you know, we're really proud of Carly, and she's really excited and happy with how she performed up on the Gold Coast. She would have liked to come back with 4 gold medals, but, you know, two gold, a silver and a bronze isn't bad leading into Tokyo in a couple of years. So she's on a high, and we couldn't be any prouder.
Exactly. Jim, you reckon the dynamic change in the Mitchell Stark household as well?
Oh, definitely.
His brother winning the high
definitely,
jump.
All of that. Absolutely.
Hey, Abby, this season, for listeners out there, the many Swift fans we have, including my wife who loves her netball, can the Swifts go all the way?
I think we can. We had a very really tumultuous off season. Our coach walked out on us, and we spent 2 months without a coach. And when they finally appointed Bryony to the position, she's walked in and she's come with like a breath of fresh air. She's filled us all with confidence, and I think that's what we were missing last year. Mm-hmm. We ran into last season with the excuse that we were young and we were inexperienced, and I think that gave us, you know, oh, don't worry, we lost, you guys are young, it's all good. Mm. Whereas this year, although we're still young and we're still relatively inexperienced compared to the rest of the other teams, we're running around with so much more confidence, and I think that's what's going to turn our season around from last year. And as long as we're in the top four, anything can happen from there. So I'm confident, and I know the girls are, and we just got to get there in the next 14 weeks.
Mm. I know a lot of the footy teams like to go away and really test their squad during a pre-season to test them physically and test them mentally. You did something similar. You went to Moree with Tommy Carter and myself.
That would have been a real test, Andy. I don't know how you got out of that alive.
Well, I'll tell you what, I nearly didn't, to be honest. It was an interesting couple of days. I learnt a lot, but it was a fun little trip up to Moree.
I tell you what, Abby, it's been interesting about 8 years working with this man. I can tell you, it's been good fun.
Tommy Carter was the one. I'll tell you what, Abby, the people of Moree loved having you there and really appreciated what you did for their kids, which is what it's all about. Yeah. Now you have to go out and win today. It's going to be huge. We're looking forward to the continuation of this Super Netball, second year for it, and Channel 9 covers it, Telstra covers it as well. And on behalf of everyone, good luck, Abby, for the Swifts in 2018.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
There
she
is.
Day,
she's a great girl, Abby McCulloch. She's the leader of the Swifts. If you want to have a look at the futures market.
I was about to say, because Abby was quite confident they could go all the way this year.
$21.
Wow.
There's a number of sites. Sunshine Coast Lightning, they're the defending champs on $4. Melbourne Vixens at $4. Collingwood Magpies at $4. The Giants, $4.50, the rivals of the Swifts. Mm-hmm. And then you get out to $8, the Firebirds, as I mentioned. $21 to Swifts. West Coast Fever, $13, and the Outsiders.
What are they head-to-head
the
today, James?
Thunderbirds. So that's an excellent question. Just let me get back to that one, Raymond, and I'll give you the head-to-head very shortly. That's the doubleheader out there today, too. It's the Swifts, $2.80. The Outsiders to Queensland, $1.43. 1353-53 is the open line number.
Smith looks right, goes back to the left-hand side.
Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. And now to talk all things NRL is our good friend Dean Bulldog Richie. Dino, good morning. And firstly, the NRL and the Hall of Fame concept. I was talking to Jimmy earlier. I couldn't work out why it's been 10 years since the last Hall of Fame ceremony. Why has it taken that long, Dino? Good morning, mate.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. Look, it's only been the last year or so that the NRL has got serious about this. They've appointed Frank Fuller, too, a former Penrith player, to oversee these type of events. But look, it's been a bit tardy. Obviously, the Immortals brand was owned by Rugby League Week there for a long time. So they finally actually got together and thought, let's get this done and let's get it done properly. And they are doing a good job, to be fair.
Yep.
Yes, it's overdue, but yes, it is on the right path now, and this current one, I think, is outstanding.
It's very difficult to narrow the 25 nominees down to 6, and we'll leave that to the people who have been entrusted with that. Dino, Manly, I know you're close to them. What is happening there? There seems to be, I described it earlier with Zorba, the leadership. Where is Lyle Gorman? Where is Scott Penn? It seems to be Trent Barrett doing it all by himself.
Yeah, it's just a club in crisis, Jimmy. I know we use that term a lot in rugby league, but I think it genuinely fits the mood at Brookvale at the moment. They're just struggling in every possible facet, and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. They've got no players. They've got a salary cap issue. They've got internal dramas. But look, the key question is, at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, every NRL team is officially announced. Will Jackson Hastings be there? Look, Trent Barrett privately will say he doesn't want him there, but it's a matter now, I guess, whether Trent will be, what's the word you could use, stubborn, if that's the right word, and say, no, I'm not picking him, or does Trent think, look, you know, we're going to start with a football game because this season is slipping away very quickly, and Jackson probably is the man that could help the club push forward, given Lachlan Croker, of course, is now out for the season.
And isn't that the key, Dino? It's all about the team now, and I think it was really telling yesterday, there's images in the Sunday papers of most of the Manly first graders out watching Jackson Hastings play. That says a lot, I think.
Well, it's funny, right? It's almost like they're reading off a different page. You've got sort of the coaching staff and management saying to journalists that he won't be picked, and now you've got the players saying that we support him.
Yep.
So it's a very strange situation. Look, I'm sure Trent Barrett will applaud the fact that his club is trying to come back together again after Hastings and Gladstone dramas, but I'm sure privately they'll sit back and think, well, here I am saying publicly that Jackson won't be in the side, and now I've got, what, half a dozen of the players out there supporting him. So it's a very unusual situation. It's one of the more bizarre stories we've come across in rugby league in recent years. Look, the only other option I can think of at Brook Bowls is if they bring Matt Wright back in the side and maybe move Dylan Walker to the six. Of course, he has played there before, so that'll be the other option that Trent Barrett will no doubt contemplate for the next 24 hours.
What do you anticipate? I know Trent pretty well. What do you think he'll do?
Jimmy, I don't think Trent knows what he's going to do at the moment, and that's not trying to dodge your question. I have to second guess you.
Mm.
If you put me on the spot, I'll say he won't pick him.
Mm. Wow. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I get the feeling that'll be the same too, because
Shouldn't he come first?
Yeah, but it's not that cut and dried. Like, there are other nominees that could
other better players.
Yeah, not better, but where you could say, oh, okay, well, I'll accept that as an alternative.
Is he your best option? Is Jackson Hastings the best option, given the injury crisis now at Manly Seagulls?
I think what Manly should have done, Ray, in the first place was perhaps, in hindsight, and it's always easy, to have said that, look, we will put Jackson Hastings back, but every week we will consider him and we will come forward with what we think is the best side capable of winning.
Like every other club does when they name teams on a Tuesday. So if he's their best option, he should be back in the team, I think.
But he will be considered every week on merit, as opposed to saying, look, he's gone, and he's there for the whole year.
Mm. Now, how are you going with... I know you and Laurie joined at the hip, especially around State of Origin time.
Not anymore, mate. He's not the coach.
No, exactly. So how are you going with Freddie? And what do you make of the story this morning suggesting that Clint Gutherson is in line for a Blues call-up?
Yeah, I saw that, no doubt. I think it was David Riccio wrote the story. No doubt he's got some mail from somewhere. Dave's a very respected journalist, so I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. It may well. I made a few inquiries during the week. The two names I was told were right in the firing line with Josh Adokar and Latrell Mitchell, two selections personally I would support. I think Latrell is big, he's strong, he's ready. And as for Adokar, he's just been a total revelation. So I think Freddie will look to shake things up a little bit.
Yep.
The edict I'm hearing is not going to be made public, but they want you to have played in some very, very big games to be picked. They're not just going to pick kids who are in form, but you've got to have played in some big games. And I'm talking either test matches or grand finals. That might pull a couple of candidates out. But at the moment, I'm hearing Mitchell and Adokar are... head first into that first Origin game in Melbourne.
Latrell Mitchell's ready, isn't he?
That basis that Dean told us there, he doesn't qualify. He hasn't played in a grand final. He hasn't played State of Origin.
He hasn't played a
test match.
He is.
Josh Adokar's played in a grand final. Clint Gutherson hasn't played in a grand final or played for Australia. So anyway,
those concerns in their forwards, guys. You looked at the. There are candidates for their forwards, and when I say they, I say Queensland. They've got a lot of players who are injured or out of form, and look, they're down on troops, they're down on form at the moment, Queensland. That's how they love it, mind you. They love that back to the wall, written off, dismissed, Queensland can't win mentality. But based on form at the moment, the Blues have certainly got a distinctive edge.
Mm. Hey, Dino, real quick one. Interesting piece in Buzz's column today about Andrew Johns, his role as a Channel 9 commentator, and also potential conflicts when he's commentating on the Roosters games, where he obviously performs a coaching role there. Have you got any mail there of what may happen re that potential conflict which came to light again during that Anzac Day clash?
Yeah, it was a fascinating story this morning. I enjoyed reading Buzz's column because it's so true, but I just wonder how Joey can continue to do it. And I think he's a wonderful commentator. He can just break down a game so brilliantly and so quickly, Joey Johns. Mm. But It must be difficult, though, to question and to the point of criticising Roosters players and then sidle up to them next day and be amazed. It's a very difficult situation. Look, Zorba's had it for many years. People say the same thing about Zorba. You can't say that you're an official. He says, well, no, I'm a journalist. Mm. So it's a very... There's a line in the middle there which gets a bit murky. Mm. But as for Joey, look, Trent Robinson's supporting Joey, but can't help but think some of the players might just get a little peeved if he has a fair old crack at them. And if he has a crack at the halves, is he actually having a crack at himself?
Yeah, I know. Mm. Pop's going to eat itself soon. Parramatta versus the West Tigers. Any team changes there?
Yeah, no, to be truthful, Jimmy, that's the 4 o'clock game, ANZ. The West Tigers, Elijah Taylor had concussion. Jacob Little, Sternum, and Chris Lawrence had hamstring. Taylor Little didn't finish last week's games, but they look like they're cleared to play. And over there at Parramatta, Bev French trained yesterday. He looks like he'll be the replacement for Jared Hayne. If there is a late mishap with him, Josh Hoffman is on standby, and Nathan Brown, their back rower, looks like he'll have to wait one more week before he makes his return.
Mm. Hey, mate, we've got to fly. We've got guests coming out of our ears. We'll speak to you next week.
Good on you. Thanks, Paul. Have a great week.
1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Shannon Earls from the SLA Makeup Academy. When we needed a new office assistant, we called the team at Nova Employment. They found us a great worker who puts in 110%. We couldn't be happier.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Another quick success story about radio. A marketer needed to promote a new car. A fancy new car. He knew.
People are 7 times more likely to buy cars that heard advertised on radio.
He advertised the fancy new. On
radio.
And because people are 7 times more likely to buy it, that's advertised on
radio.
Sales really increased. Along with the marketer's bonus. Woohoo! Which he spent on a fancy new for himself. All thanks to radio advertising. Radio. Alive with influence. Alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au. Yes.
Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya Thomas.
Sydney FC will not get the chance at the double-double after going down to Melbourne Victory in last night's A-League semi-final at ANZ Stadium. Victory had the game won at 2-1 with 13 seconds to go before Terry Antonis deflected the ball for an own goal to take the match into overtime. In what you could only expect to see in a movie, Antonis claimed redemption with the winning goal in the 117th minute to give Victory the win 3-2. The grand final next Saturday night, Newcastle take on the Victory at McDonald Jones Stadium at 7:50. Consecutive wins for Cronulla, the Sharks grinding out a 10-9 victory over the Gold Coast in the NRL match in Robina. The winning point coming from a field goal with a minute and a half to go from Chad Townsend. In Townsville, Canberra scored 3-1 to record their third win of the season, knocking over North Queensland 18-8. It's the Cowboys' third defeat at home this year. Today, Parramatta and the West Tigers at ANZ at 4:10. Meantime, last night, 25 nominations for the 2018 NRL Hall of Fame were announced. Out of the group, 6 will be inducted. Sydney looked down and out, trailing by 22 points at three-quarter time, but rookie Robbie Fox got things going with a huge mark and a goal early in the final quarter, spurring the Swans on to beat Geelong 86-69 at Simmons Stadium. GWS in its first match at Spotless Stadium for the year delighted the home crowd with a 77-43 win over Brisbane. Port Adelaide defeated North Melbourne, Hawthorn over St Kilda and Adelaide over the Gold Coast. The Reds scored 4 first-half tries and hung on to beat the Lions 27-22 in the Super Rugby match at Suncorp, snapping a 4-game losing streak. The Crusaders, too good for the Brumbies, 21-8. The Jaguars, 20 over the Blues, 13. And this morning, a tight one, the Highlanders, 29, beat the Bulls, 28. Suncorp Super Netball Season 2 got off to a great start with a thriller at High Saints Arena in Melbourne. The Vixens 59 over Collingwood 58. Today the Sydney teams begin their season with a doubleheader at Qdos Bank Arena. The Giants playing the Lightning at 1 o'clock, followed by the Swifts and the Firebirds at 3. NBA playoffs today, round 1, game 7 decider between Boston and Milwaukee. We also have a round 2 opener, and that's between Golden State and New Orleans. As of yesterday, Steph Curry was a 50-50% to play. The superstar hasn't had a game since March 24 because of an MCL sprain in his left knee. English Premier League results, Liverpool and Stoke nil all, Burnley and Brighton nil all, Crystal Palace 5, Leicester nil, Huddersfield nil, Everton 2, Newcastle nil, West Brom 1, Southampton 2-1 over Bournemouth, Swansea nil, Chelsea 1. Bad light halted play in the semi-final of the Hungarian Tennis Open, where Queenslander John Millman is up against Slovenian Al Jazbedin. The match is at 1-1. Meantime, Rafael Nadal will face Greek teenager Stefanos Tsitsipas in tonight's final of the Barcelona Open after claiming his 400th career clay court victory in the semi over David Goffin. It'll be Tsitsipas' first ATP final. Daniel Ricciardo, looking for back-to-back Formula One wins, will start from fourth for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Sebastian Vettel has pole. And South Sydney youngster Jordan Mailata has been selected in the seventh round with the 233rd overall pick in the NFL draft. The Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Boys, 6'8", 346 pounds, as I said, he's 20 years old, and he ran 40 yards in 5.12 seconds. So he's a semi-trailer.
That's motoring.
Coming at you.
He played a few games for the Rabbitohs in the under-20s last year,
right,
and his biggest issue was endurance.
Right.
Could he play?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Really hard to stop when he carried the ball. So he is perfectly built for NFL.
Yeah.
Well, he was scouted at the Pro Day trials, and Washington, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, they all wanted him, they invited him to work out with them, whatever that means, I guess join a training session,
yeah,
but Philadelphia were the ones that got him.
They're all project players. They all have these players that are, they know physically measure up, and then they've just got to learn the game, and whether he can learn the game in a really short space of time.
That's no guarantee he'll make the roster, but boy, it's a major step to getting there, isn't it?
Huge step.
Which
huge
again
step.
Underlines how extraordinary the effort of Jared Hayne. To crack that market.
And particularly
and he played
his
eight
age.
Time.
He played eight
and
games.
And at
game
his age
time.
As well.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I know people downplay it, but gee, it was an extraordinary effort. So.
Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that.
Totis had no right to get through there, really. But still he goes on. O'Neill giving chase forlornly. Still Terry Antonis! Has he won it for Melbourne victory? The villain turned hero.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, heartbreak last night for Sydney FC fans, losing 3-2 in overtime in what was an absolutely compelling game against Melbourne Victory.
Why'd we have to play that again, Ray?
Oh,
Sydney FC fans, you and I?
Robbie Slater was commentating for Fox last night. It was one of those games, Robbie, you just couldn't look away. Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, mate, I was paid to be there, so I wasn't allowed to look away. But you're right, even if I wasn't, it was compelling viewing. And yeah, probably the right result at the end. Sydney might disagree, and there was a couple of things that, you know, I'll touch on. I'm not sure if I'll touch on it here, but I'll certainly touch on it in the near future regarding VAR in both semi-finals. And that's not to take anything away from either Newcastle or Sydney, but, you know, Argani had a clear-cut penalty in the first semi-final in Newcastle's win, which would have put City 2-0 up at that stage. And for me, Matt Simon had one last night.
Yeah.
But take that away, you know, we were complaining about the VAR using it too much. So you've got to find some middle ground, I guess. But when it's clear cut like that, I think you should be using it. But wow, what a story, Antonis. You know, the villain, if you say, oh, look, I don't call it a villain. Own goals happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's come across from Mierzhevsky in a close range, sliding across the box. Yep, it's a mistake. Comes off the outside of his shin and in it goes. But his goal was full of determination, I think. Probably with that in the back of his mind to exercise those recently gained demons. And, you know, Sydney have only got themselves to blame. You know, Ninkovic with the first mistake, I'm talking about the goal here. And then the substitute Ben Waller has come on for Jordi Bosch with a massive mistake, allowing Antonis to get through him far too easily. And then they didn't come across quick enough. And he got a deflection off Alex Wilkinson and into the back of the net and victory march into the grand final. But on the whole game, I'd have to say Sydney were certainly not at their best. They're big players, and I'm talking about their front four,
really, not that they didn't turn up, but they weren't on the level that we've been used to seeing them this season. But then Victory harried them and pressed them in the middle of the park. And like you said, it was compelling viewing, but for Sydney, it's really one that got away. And for me, they spoke too much during the week, and Musket had every right to. It was a little bit like the pot calling the kettle black, because you know, Victory have been known for arrogance in their past as well, and that always comes with champion teams.
Mm.
But he had every right, winners and grinners, had every right to have a pot shot at the end.
What on earth was the assistant coach doing on the field? And
they got two of them.
Will they be sanctioned for that, Robbie?
Well, of course they will. They will not be sitting on the bench in the grand final. Well, they better not be.
That was disgraceful, Robbie.
You just don't go. Listen, whatever happened on the field, whatever was said or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. You can't run on the field. Now, I know it's emotional and it's all this, but, you know, that's just crap. You don't run on the field. And I know JP and Dean Anastasiades quite well. And, you know, they are very tough people and emotional, but, mate, that's just out of order.
Mm.
And, you know, I think John Paul clearly puts his hand and pushes Carney in the face, from what I see. And, you know, there's talk of him taking over the Wellington job, and I can't see that doing him any favours when the Wellington, you know, officials and boards see that. But I'm not trying to do him out of a job. I've known him for a long time, and he's made a mistake. But it's a mistake he will pay for.
Mm. Yeah, that was extraordinary.
Kevin Musk will have no help next week.
On a bench on his own, yeah.
Won't worry him.
What about next week?
Well, I guess the only surprise is that Musky wasn't on the ground.
I think he came on at one stage towards the end there. Hey, fast forward to next week, Robbie, and it does set up an absolute blockbuster up at Newcastle. As Jimmy said, it'll be a full house for the Jets versus Victory. And, of course, we're still in disbelief about Riley McGree's scorpion kick on the Friday night. So both semi-finals had so much drama, so much action. It should be a blockbuster grand final next week.
Yeah, look, and guys, and let's be brutally honest, it's exactly what we need in what has been a largely lacklustre, disappointing season. And I take nothing away. And that's not to do with the football, but things that go on outside of the football. You know, the FFA, the debacle over Christmas, and, you know, the Congress still not sorted out where the direction of the game's going. So that's all affected, the season. Sydney have been outstanding. And in spite of losing last week, you can't take anything away. People say, oh, they can't be called the best A-League team in history because they've lost last night. I know we live in a country where the grand final's the championship, and that's the way it is, but, you know, what they've done is still extraordinary, and they can be proud of themselves, although they're not probably feeling like that at the moment. But Riley McGree. Olivier Giroud did it for Arsenal, a similar goal, obviously with his left foot, and it got World Goal of the Year. Riley McGree, not because of the quality of his goal, but because of where we play, will not get World Goal of the Year. But certainly, it's one of the best we've ever seen in our local competition. And, mate, good luck to him. You know, like, people say, oh, it's a fluke at this. Well, it's actually not. It's not a fluke because he's tried to do it. And I think Fozzer put it in a good way. When someone gets a hole-in-one in golf, is it a fluke? Well, it is and it isn't, because it's not, because you're actually aiming at the pin.
That's right.
Mm.
So it goes in. He pulled off that skill. He meant to do what he did, and good luck to him. What a great story for the young boy. And, you know, he gained instant fame pretty much worldwide. And I know sometimes we exaggerate, but it really did go viral.
Yeah. All right, who wins?
Look, I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
And Victory had a terrible record against Sydney until last night, and they pulled it out the hat and won. But they have an even worse record in Newcastle.
Is that right?
Okay.
Oh, it is absolutely honking. I think Victory marched into a record sixth grand final, and to be fair to Kevin Musket, in spite of problems, I mean, there's even talk of him getting sacked at the start of the year, not by me, but by some people. He's made three grand finals in a row. Lost last year, won the one before, and he goes into another one. I just think there's a lot of emotion and momentum behind Newcastle.
They got over that dusty period where they lost three in a row. They beat the Mariners. Well, they pulverised the Mariners 8-2. They were well worth their win against Melbourne City, who'd beaten them 3-0 a couple of weeks before. I'm going to sit Newcastle.
Oh, there you go. $2.35 at tab.com.au. If we quickly go to the EPL, Liverpool 0-0 with Stoke City at Anfield. It just gave me a little chuckle. But
It's typical, isn't it? It's typical. It really is. The only thing that probably didn't, well, surprise me, there wasn't a Liverpool 0, Stoke 1. but they've managed to get a draw after a big European night. And you know what? I obviously didn't watch it. I got home late from the semi-final, but I thought he must have put a reserve team out, but he put a good team out.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, yeah.
Certainly wasn't a reserve team. I'll tell you what, I know we're dragging on a bit here, which I love, but the big result of the night, and it's got an Aussie influence, is Huddersfield losing at home to Everton 2-0. Now, Southampton won at home to Bournemouth. They go to 32 points. They both got three games to go. They got a game in hand both. Huddersfield 3 points ahead with a worse goal difference. Southampton have got an easier run in. Huddersfield have to play at home Manchester City and I think Chelsea. At home to Tottenham and away to Man City. So they've got three massive games in respect to the top of the table. At home to Arsenal are their last game. That's right. Tottenham, Man City away, Arsenal at home. So it's going to be close, you know, for Aaron Moy who plays there.
Yeah.
Let's hope they get the points they need, but Southampton 3 points behind with a better goal difference. I can see Huddersfield losing all three.
Dangerous signs. Yeah. And that'll be Arsene Wenger's last game, right, for Arsenal. So that'll be emotion dripping with that one.
Exactly. The other thing is to touch on him, you know, locally is there's still three clubs. Sydney now officially without a coach with Graham Arnold gone, of course. Wanderers still without a coach and Perth without a coach. So
good point. Yeah.
We might have a chat about that next week.
Yeah, you've used up all your allocated time here.
Yeah, well, probably not. I suppose we'll be talking about the grand final next week.
Yes. Yeah.
We talk everything.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks, Rob.
Appreciate that.
Your word.
See you, mate.
Robbie Slater there, who's on Fox Sports last night. You could hear him in co-commentary too. It was a fantastic game of football. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. And after the break, speaking of Newcastle, we're heading north again with Nathan Brown.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Shannon Earls from the SLA Makeup Academy. When we needed a new office assistant, we called the team at Nova Employment. They found us a great worker who puts in 110%. We couldn't be happier.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDesk. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDesk, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDesk partners with MYOB.
Griffin, back to the half back. Mitchell Pearce this time, you betcha. The dreams are blue for Mitchell Pearce. The long-time rooster is a hero for the Knights.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, everyone said Mitchell Pearce out for 16 weeks or whatever length of time it happens to be, and that's it for the Newcastle Knights. But somebody forgot
to tell
Newcastle. They go there on Friday night at Brookvale, and they have a famous victory. It was a late try to Nathan Ross, set up by Kalyn Ponga, and I reckon we've got ourselves a very happy coach on the line, Nathan Brown. He joins us now. G'day, Nathan.
Jimmy, how are you, pal?
Very well. By the way, you're becoming our rugby league correspondent here from Newcastle on a Sunday morning, and we love it.
Not a problem, mate. It's always a good morning when you play Friday and win Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that keeps happening, you can keep calling, mate.
Hey, we'll take you up on that. You know what we're like. What about that? How much during the week did you talk about, or was there any talk about the fact that, okay, Mitchell's not playing and people need to stand up?
Oh, we didn't overdo it, Jimmy. Just when we sort of knew the news and we had our first sort of team meeting, we sort of just spoke about, obviously, we've got to back Cogs. The group has to put a lot of faith in Cogs, and
yep.
Cogs needs to be quite dominant, but it'd be nice if everyone sort of raised their water levels a fraction to help, because you know, only one person's not going to replace Pierce. He's obviously got his experience and he's obviously achieved quite a lot. And Cogs is a younger guy, so we just wanted to ease the pressure a bit on Cogs if we could, but we also wanted to make it be known that, you know, at the end of the day, Cogs is the halfback and he needs to be treated as Mitchell's treated.
And he played well, Nathan, didn't he? But I thought Kalen Ponga, I know you've been singing his praises all season, and you made a really, I thought, interesting quote after the game. You said Kalen Ponga's a really good footballer. He's an even better person. And I think he really stood up for the Knights on Friday night. Anyone who doubted this kid is not a potential superstar, they got a glimpse of it in that game against the Seagulls, Nathan.
Yeah, look, probably the, obviously I'm pretty confident, you know, a lot of people obviously knew of Kalen's talent that have seen him play, and you know, probably none more than the people at North Queensland that had him for a few years. But I suppose the probably surprising things for people is his ability to be able to do it consistently at first grade level for a young age. But probably the most surprising thing is how calm he is under pressure. Like, when the pressure's on, he wants the ball, you know. And I think he sort of proved that the other night when a lot of people probably expected maybe a field goal. Kalen thought he'd back his talent to come up with something a little better if the opportunity was there. And that, you know, his calmness under pressure for a young age is probably a real standout, I'd say.
And how cheap did you get him for? I mean, everyone said you paying him $600,000 allegedly was too much. But now I'm saying is you got one of the form fullbacks of the competition, and you only got him on the cap at that. It's a big bonus. Origin, would that be too early for him this year?
Oh look, I sort of, you know, the one thing I reckon Queensland's done really well over the past sort of 10 years in particular is, you know, with Mal there and then Kevy, is, you know, they seem to have a knack for when to bring players in, and you know, it's only 18 months ago they decided to bring Munster in when he, you know, played his 40 odd first grade games, and now he's getting man of the match and playing for Australia, and he's staying there, and they've had a real knack for when to bring people in, and when they bring him in, they tend to play well and stay there for the long term. So, you know, I got a funny feeling that whenever Kevy picks him and whoever Kevy's, you know, closest confidants are, which I'm sure he probably talks to Mal on that, you know, I'm sure when they make, say, the time's right, that he'll go there and play well. And whether they think that's this year or next year, you know, at the end of the day, there's a sort of handy sort of player called Billy Slater that I think's running around still. And he's not a bad young player, old Billy. So, you know, I think as long as Billy's there, I suppose Kalen will be waiting in the wings. But, look, I think if he was to be selected, look, he seems to handle everything in his stride. But, you know, Queensland seem to make a good fist of it when they get him. So once he's in there, I'm sure he'll do well and he'll stay there.
It's clear to me that he has a dominant side. He loves going down the left-hand side. So, one, what work do you do about the other side of the field? And two, did you ever consider putting him in as a left half and making use of his talents from that point of view?
Oh, look, you know, I'm pretty confident wherever he played quite well. He made his debut on the wing in a semi-final. He wanted to play him centre or 5-8. At the end of the day, the 5-8s and fullbacks can be quite similar roles.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Cameron Munster, who first started his career and played in a grand final at fullback, then won a grand final at 5-8. So, you know, they can be quite similar. But, look, the left side of the field, when we first started the year, obviously there was a lot of hype around Kalen and a fair bit of, added pressure. But we saw maybe more keeping him to a side just without putting too much pressure on him. But as this year's gone on, he's starting to move now to the other side of the field a bit more, and we're freeing up a little bit. So, as time goes on, we'll see him move the other side of the field and develop some combinations there as well.
Hey, Nathan, in 2017, the Knights won 5 games in 24 rounds. We're 8 rounds into the 2018 season. The Knights are sitting 5-3, deservedly so. They're top 6. Is this above your expectations or about where you thought this team could be one-third into the season, Nathan?
Honestly, Ray, I wasn't really sure. I just knew that, you know, I knew after our first year that we'd be a lot better the second year, and I was confident that this year, you know, if we had a little bit of luck with the players we brought in, we'd be a lot better again. But I thought, you know, before the comp started, I thought it was going to be a very different sort of competition early on, because, you know, sides like ourselves who were down the bottom, you know, the Warriors, the West Tigers, with the new sort of CBA coming out, the new salary cap, there was, for the first time probably in the history of the game, or to my knowledge, the market was flooded with so many good players.
Yeah.
And so, now, when you're down the bottom of the table, history sort of tells you, unless you're the Broncos or Canterbury, one of the really rich, powerful clubs, you tend to recruit from bottom clubs, you know. So, you know, if you look at the players we've got playing with us and where the Warriors recruited from and the West Tigers, you know, we're lucky to buy players who are still in the primes of their career or coming into the primes of their career that were playing at strong clubs. So I didn't know where the comp was going to be. I just knew that it was going to be quite a bit different to what it's been in the previous years because of how much the teams at the bottom have strengthened. And now we look at the table how it is today, and there's some real, I suppose, some sides that are down low at the moment who none of us would have expected to be there, but I wouldn't give up sight on them because so many sides are winning games, I suppose. I think this year, you know, less points, you know, they might find a better team on less points making the eight, you know. So did I expect us to be where we were? I didn't really know. I just knew we'd be better, Ray. And the other thing is, you know, we've played six of our first eight games away from home, so, you know, we feel like we've achieved quite a lot to do that, you know, because we are a team that historically, you know, home's been where our best games have been played, so that's been pleasing as well.
Absolutely.
The final tackle of the game, Jamie Bure, Daly Cherry-Evans, he's been cleared by the match committee. It just didn't look good. What did Jamie Bure say after? Because it's clear that he grabbed at his eyes after the incident.
All Jamie said to me was when it was highlighted was, he's one of my best mates and I don't want nothing to happen. So there was nothing in it. That was to quote Jamie. So that's as far as I can comment. He's one of our captains and he said he doesn't. He wants nothing of it and thought nothing of it. So that's how we got to go there, Jimmy, I reckon.
Interesting.
Fair enough, yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, one final one, Nathan. Obviously, the Knights are going extremely well. Your soccer team, the Jets, are into the grand final next week. There must be a buzz around Newcastle at the moment.
Oh, yeah, it's great, mate. I went for a quick coffee with my wife and my young fella yesterday morning on the way into work, and there was a group of old fellas lobbed in with their one had a Jets hat on, the other one sang out the Knights, and they're all singing out Jets and Knights. So, look, Newcastle's a very, very, unless you've been involved in one of the sporting teams here, you know, the way the community and the teams go together is very different to most other places. So, you know, the Jets being in is, you know, it's great for the Knights as well, and hopefully, you know, our season keeps ticking along all right because I think that's good for the Jets as well, and I think, you know, us both doing well is great for the community.
Absolutely.
You might have nearly had time to sneak over for a bet yesterday. Did you get to the Hawkesbury standalone?
When I went to England, Jimmy, I sort of retired from betting, so I rarely do it these days, mate. It's only a once every blue moon.
Oh, right.
I don't even follow on much these days unless I've got a social event on with some mates or I have a day at the races. So I've got four racehorses in three daughters and a young bloke, so they take all the extra money.
They're more than $100 a week, isn't it?
Well, their training fees are quite high, mate. Especially the females.
Mate, there was an article in the paper yesterday that said, do you want to be wealthy in your old age? Don't have kids. Basically, I looked at Tracy and I thought, never a truer word written.
Come on.
Another bloke said to me too, Jimmy, if you're ever really dirty on a bloke, buy him a racehorse and give him a racehorse. So.
Well, I've just bought one, so thanks very much.
It actually goes all right, Nathan.
Thanks for that. Good on you, Nathan. Congratulations on not only on the Friday night performance, but the way that the Knights are travelling as well. And as always, great with your time with us on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nathan.
Nathan Brown, coach of the Knights. The whole town's excited.
It's a buzz. My sister lives there and she tells me about it.
Yeah, right. There you go.
It's a real buzz up in Newcastle, mate.
Fair enough, too. There'll be back-to-back big crowds at McDonald Jones
Stadium.
Friday
night for the Knights versus Rabbitohs.
Yes.
And Saturday night, the Jets victory grand final.
And I reckon Glenn Munsey will have us a price for that from tab.com.au. It's a special guest, Glenn Munsey. Yeah. To what do we owe the pleasure, Glenn? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. On a morning where you have been going through marquee signings, they thought they would have
very well done.
A marquee
well done.
Signing to come in today.
Too good. Very good.
Is our man Trent? He went to see Hawthorn play in Tasmania or something, didn't he, yesterday? Glenn, is that what happened?
Yes, he did. At a function down there. He's probably still trapped at Mona down there.
No,
going
and Trent wouldn't have gone home.
No, he'd be still cheering, singing the song and getting through there. But, I tell you what, I wish I had the opportunity to go to a game in Tasmania. I'm lucky to go. I got to Hawkesbury yesterday. That's a good trip for me. I'm usually not too far from where you are, boys, at French's Forest. And my trip, I get to go upstairs one floor to the other studio and go on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Come on, Glenn. Come on. You started strongly. Let's not let it fall away
right
quickly.
Righto, boys.
Righto.
NRL today.
Yep, Tigers Eels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 180 the West Tigers. Parramatta at 205 in this match at 4 o'clock. What Zorba's confident the West Tigers there, 1 to 12, a $3 chance.
Yes.
In that market. Para 1 to 12, 320. West Tigers 13 plus, 375. Para 13 plus at 5. The draw there at 80 minutes, a $21 chance. Punters believe it's the under 40.5 points. So we didn't have any points in the Cronulla match last night and the Gold Coast there. But 40.5, the line at the under over, 175, the under in that match. Bevan French and David Nofaluma, the $10 equal favourites to score the first try. And Jimmy, I heard you talking earlier to Bulldog about Clint Gutherson, his name being touted as a State of Origin fullback there. He's an $11 chance to score the first try. Looking forward to that match on Friday night in Newcastle, first of the big couple of days up there.
Your man, Glenn.
Yeah, Souths, they want to just, they still haven't learned any structure, my boys, when they get to the 25 or the 22 metre line, and they tend to all fall apart there. 153 the Bunnies, 250 Newcastle, 4.5 the line in that one. They back up McDonald Jones Stadium on Saturday night for the A-League Grand Final. How big will Newcastle want to be in?
Yeah.
235, this is a result in normal time. 235 Newcastle, 365 the draw, $2.80 Melbourne victory. This is a question you could have raised this morning, boys. When was the last side to lead 4-0 at the end of normal time and still have to go to extra time? Because Melbourne victory physically led 4-0 last night in the soccer.
Two own goals.
Good point.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, just the AFL today. There's a couple of massive games. There's 90,000 plus going to the Magpies Tigers.
Which is, it's incredible that, you know, the AFL, it never ceases to amaze. You know, they put that extra, well, you could say extra Anzac match on Tuesday night, and they got plenty there for Richmond. And Richmond back up against Collingwood today at 20 past 3. Collingwood 280, Richmond 146, a line of 13.5. Before that, Essendon play Melbourne. Melbourne, the $1.80 favourites in that one. The big derby over there in the west, 20 past 4. Frio on the west coast. First derby, I think, at the new Optus Stadium. 240 Frio, 160 the west coast, 9.5 the line there. We got NBA playoffs today. We got English Premier League tonight. The Netty starts this afternoon. I heard you talking about the netball earlier. The Swifts play the Firebirds in the late match there at 3 o'clock. And a big day of racing at Tamworth. Good luck to everyone up there at Tamworth. The showcase meeting with the Tamworth Cup. Suncraze, the favourite there. And also good luck to the Shoalhaven Turf Club with racing at Nowra as well. And as per normal, boys, it's always a very, very big day at tab.com.au. Get down to your local tab, your pub, your club. Get on your phone, get the app, and just check out everything that is available to you. And, you know, just have a sly little investment there and cheer at home. And where are we off to for you today, Jimmy?
I'll be at it.
That 48 different jobs, Glenn.
Stadium.
I saw a V-double semi-trailer going over the bridge near my place heading towards the Shire. It was in preparation of Jimmy's group certificates for this financial year.
Thank you, Glenn.
As I said, it was a very strong start.
A strong finish.
See you, Glenn.
Good on you, Glenn. Yeah, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Just on this, we've got an SMS here. The SMS number 0419 767 272. What time do you want me to head over, bro? Got to say, wrong number.
I think it is. I was wondering what the...
Wrong number. Anyway, if you're here after 10, we're gone. So there you go. Now, Scotty Foster.
Where is Scotty?
Excellent question. I can't answer that, but what I can do is this. Hello, boys. Today I have something for the first car buyers. Did we sell it last week?
We didn't hear.
We didn't hear from Scotty.
That's a no. Anyway, it's the 2004 Toyota Avalon Grande automatic sedan. I don't have to remind everyone that the Toyotas are the most popular car on the market due to their reliability, their safety and economy. Maintenance is as cheap as you will get. And this one comes with leather trim, sunroof, sat nav and loads of other extras. These cars are very hard to find in good condition at a great price. But we've got one here today and it's going to sell very quickly. Listen to this price, Ray. $3,490, the 2004 Toyota Avalon Grande Automatic. Don't miss out. Go to the website for $3,490, fosterscualitycars.com.au.
And don't forget, Jimmy, the new finance packages that Steve Foster and Sons have available at the moment. They're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now it's time to call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, or you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. Click on the finance link, because Steve Foster's and Sons can help you get into a vehicle as soon as today.
Got to get a tip out of you today, mate, for the Eels v Tigers.
Eels.
Yeah, I think the Eels too. That's why Zorba went there. I couldn't believe the price at $2.05. By the way, last week we couldn't believe the price at Parramatta as well. They thumped them.
Yes.
They thumped the Manly Seagulls. There you go. Enjoy all the people who said marquee signings throughout the course of the morning. This one's a good one. Great marquee signing was the Norwest Eagles Oztag Club. Lord, the great Cliff Napper Lyons across. What an outstanding Oztag player he is. Touch
so where are you heading off to today?